Welcome to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin. Today on the show, the Lakers sneak out of Chase Center up 1-0 in the series. They now have home court advantage against the worst road team left in the playoffs. And man, we got to give Anthony Davis some flowers. Heading into the series, I wrote for Substack and then told Aaron in our preview extravaganza that the Lakers win a road playoff game in the second round, and I'm already going we. I thought that the Lakers had to take game one here in order to get on schedule. From there, whatever happens in game two, obviously you would like to win, and then you win games two and three back at home. And then finally, you have a 3-1 lead and three opportunities to take care of business and finally knock out the Warriors. They are now on schedule. And based on Darvin Ham's approach to this one, it really seemed like they agree with my assessment heading in. Anthony Davis played the entire second half. LeBron, I believe, played the entire fourth quarter. They finished together. You have Anthony Davis at 44 minutes. You have LeBron at 40. And the Lakers get their win, 117-112. They now have home court advantage. And the rest of the series, you know, as it is going to play out. And look, like the way that series work, it's always a give and a take. Especially like the Warriors are the reigning champs. This is not, you know, I know a lot of people, and this is how it always goes. You're the team that you root for. They win a playoff game and you're like, they're never losing ever again. And I get it. I'm not hating on that assessment. You know what, man? That's what fandom is. But I don't think this is going to be a sweep. I don't think they are going to sweep the rest of their way through the playoffs. But certainly, they are now on schedule. They have set the schedule and they are now on that schedule. So, nice thing is, and look, we're going to see a desperate Warriors team in game two. And we saw a desperate Warriors game at the end of game one. And the nice thing here for the Lakers is they have a desperate Warriors team on film, and they can prepare for that desperate Warriors team for game two. So with also getting the win in game one. So I think, you know, get ready for a lot more Steph on the ball. Get ready for a lot more small ball. Now, does that mean that Looney is not out there creating extra opportunities? He had 23 rebounds in yesterday's game, 7 of them offensive. And he was a huge part of, I would say he was the second most important player in that Sacramento Kings series for the Lake or for the Warriors. Do they commit to small ball and go away from Looney? Or do they commit to small ball and go away from Looney and Draymond playing at the same time? Because if they do, then that means AD can now be a factor, or a bigger factor, on the offensive glass. So, yeah, I wanted to start macro here in terms of the series and in terms of what this means here moving forward. But I also think, like, we have to take a quick second, and I did this with Raj in the post-game show. But I do think it's worth it to take a quick second and look around at where the Lakers currently are and compare that to where they came from. And no, I don't mean to say that this is, you know, some grand accomplishment in its own right. There's still a lot of work to be done here. But occasionally, you stop, you smell the roses. The Lakers started the season 2-10. They headed into the season, I thought, zero chance whatsoever at competing for a title. Russell Westbrook was still on the team. They started with Patrick Beverley and Lonnie Walker and Russell Westbrook as their three, as their backcourt, essentially. At several points this season, you had four tiny little guards out there running around playing a big man sport. And not creating any of the advantages small guys try to create. This season felt like yet another lost season. It felt like another, you know, meandering path towards irrelevance, because the Lakers decided not to trade Russell Westbrook back in the offseason. And then the trade deadline happens. Rui shows up. Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverley, Kendrick Nunn, all gone. And now, wouldn't you know it, with the addition of some shooting, some length, some athleticism, some physicality, and the absence of, we just don't have to talk about that, the Lakers are now three wins away from the conference finals. Unbelievable. It is unbelievable where we currently stand. And, you know, yeah, as Kobe himself would say, job's not done. I'm not laughing, not smiling. This job's not done. That's fine. That's cool. But also, occasionally, it's kind of nice when you have this insane, this miraculous a turnaround within a single season. There's some value in just kind of stopping and looking around and just saying, holy fuck, what? Are you kidding me? My daughter just learned how to say, are you kidding me? And that's legitimately all that is kind of playing in the back of my mind. What? They just won a road playoff game against the reigning champions. A road playoff game against the reigning champions. And a game in which, by the way, that team shot 40% from three-point range. Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, they combined for 70-plus points. LeBron wasn't even good. Lakers won. What? I was trying to feign confidence. I was trying to build up confidence in the run-up to the series. And like I just said a second ago, series at this stage of the game with the kind of players and teams and organizations, really, that are competing in this series, they go back and forth. Warriors probably going to win game two. But still, earning at least the split, getting this game, identifying it as the game that needed to be won, putting together a game plan to do so, executing that game plan, and doing just enough there to win it, man. When you consider the depths of this season, the depths of the last couple seasons, this feels pretty fucking good. All right, let's talk about the game itself. We have to start with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was the best player on the court. He plays like that, he has a real argument as the best player on the face of the planet. He defends like the way that he has defended in these first couple series. He has a real case to be considered one of the greatest defenders in the history of the sport. The stuff that he was doing at the basket, where, yeah, he has his, I think he finishes with four blocks. And yeah, that obviously is an impact on its own. But he also, I don't know how many occasions either, you know, had his presence felt in the paint where Golden State was either attempting a tougher shot than they needed to, didn't attempt a shot outright. I think Golden State finished on the night with only six free throws attempted. And Warriors fans are going to say, well, obviously, the league wants the Lakers to get the split to make this a longer series or whatever. Like, yeah, that's, again, that's what fans do. That's how this works. But the Warriors shot six free throws because they attempted, how many? 50 three-pointers. 53 three-pointers on the night. 50. And they knocked down 40% of them. The Lakers still won. But again, If you're trying to get to the free throw line, you're not shooting 50 times. If you're trying to attempt anything at the rim, you're not shooting 50-plus three-pointers on the night. That's not normally how that goes. Steph shot 13. Klay shot 16. Poole, 11. Wiggins shot 5. The Warriors, every time they went into the paint, they knew, oh, shit, Boogeyman's there. And that was all AD. All AD. Anthony Davis put his fingerprints all over this game, as he has all playoffs to this point on the defensive side of the ball. And he matched that effort, by the way, with what he did offensively. I had questions about him in this series and his impact because Golden State is going to be willing to take 50-plus three-pointers in a game. But even with Golden State doing that, AD still swallowed up the paint. It's actually pretty fitting that tonight, or last night, the paint was painted black, and that's because AD turned it into a black hole. Anything that, you know, dribbled into there was nothing good was happening in those spots. And that was just an incredible effort from him. And doing so over the course of 44 minutes, only picking up two fouls. And one of those fouls, by the way, that he picked up, he asked to pick it up. He did commit the foul, but he asked to pick it up so that Vanderbilt could stay in with four fouls. It was a stellar performance. And if AD is going to be the best player in the series, Lakers are going to win. That's it. It's really just kind of that simple. If AD is that good and he is better than everybody else on the basketball court, Lakers are going to win. The next guy I have to give it up to is Jared Vanderbilt defensively. The Lakers decided to start him right from the get-go on Steph, and he was ready for the occasion. He said after the game that that's the kind of responsibility he wants defensively. He was incredible all throughout the game. And look, Steph still finished with 27 points. He still hit his threes. He still brought the Warriors almost single-handedly back into it because that's what Steph does. That's what's going to happen. I thought one mistake that Darvin Ham made over the course of the game, and I'll talk about his game in full here in a bit, but one mistake I thought that he made was going away from Vando, kind of galaxy-braining himself and allowing the Lakers to be goaded into a small lineup down the stretch. But Vando, spectacular defensively. I don't anticipate that it's going, that Steph is going to look that uncomfortable over the entirety of the series, but Vando did what the Lakers needed in order to get this split and then now has to figure out a way to kind of, churn water. You just keep his head above water against, a legitimate all-timer in Steph. And man, what a game. I know that I said heading into it that players with that body type are the kind that normally kind of they give everybody a hard time, right? We've seen him play well against Luka. We've seen him play well against SGA. We've seen him play well against Devin Booker. We've seen him play well against Steph. And like, it's a sliding scale there. In this case, Steph still was able to get off and played well, but in some spots. But for what Vanderbilt was asked to do, he can't play much better than that. You really can't, especially asking for more than that from a $4 million a year player. Good Lord, what a game from Vanderbilt. And it feels somewhat sustainable. We'll see. I think one thing we're going to see here in the next, few games, certainly in game two, is Steph saying, all right, enough with the motion stuff. Give me the ball and either put me in isolation or, give me a screen and get Vanderbilt away from me. But we'll see how Vanderbilt handles that, how the Lakers handle that. But for right now, the Lakers are able to get on schedule here to be able to win the series, and they get home court in large part because Vanderbilt was just that incredible in making Steph work for every single point that he had while Vanderbilt was guarding him. Let's talk about Darvin Ham. I think that in full, really good Ham game. I thought he utilized his timeouts better in this one. When the Warriors would go on runs, I thought Ham did a very good job of calling timeouts, and during those timeouts, stressed to the Lakers how important it was to stay focused offensively. Look, I think the Lakers are so focused defensively because of how great the Warriors are, that's not really something I'm particularly concerned about. Yeah, occasionally some guys are going to get lost. Troy Brown struggled a little bit getting through screens and stuff. But what I am kind of nervous about, because we know that the Lakers don't handle success particularly well, is, you know, they got up by 10 points and never really built on that 10-point lead. It's just kind of like hung around in that 10-point spot, and it was bad shots. It was no ball movement. AD wasn't touching it as much. And then, you know, the Warriors would go on a run because they could get out in transition, and they made a game that didn't necessarily need to be a game. And I thought that when Ham called his timeouts, generally speaking, the Lakers would come out and again focus on getting to the rim, getting downhill, and kind of forcing themselves on the smaller Golden State Warriors team. That was really good. Shorter rotation, also really good. We didn't see Malik Beasley in that game. Interestingly, and I was reaching out to people from the Lakers and other people covering the Lakers to see what's going on there with Beasley. Beasley was sitting there on the bench with a black hoodie while everybody who you would think were going into the game were wearing the purple kind of zip, you know, quarter zips or zip, you know, full zip sweatshirts or whatever. So I thought, and he also, like, at one point it looked like he had something on his wrist, so I don't know if he was necessarily healthy, but he also wasn't on the injury report, so hard to say really what was going on there. It might also just be that it's not a Malik Beasley series. That's what I thought coming into it. He makes too many mistakes defensively and hasn't been good enough offensively to make up for it, and he didn't play. We did get Troy Brown minutes, but even there, Troy Brown played 12, which is a little high. Like, I don't like the idea of Troy Brown playing more than Rui, but yeah, I you know, we got a stint from Wenyen Gabriel, and overall, I think in terms of rotation and minutes, mostly I agree with Ham's approach there. So macro level, I thought he did a very good job in this game. That said, that 14-0 run that the Warriors went on, I hope that serves as a reminder to him and the coaching staff, do not ever try to match up small for small with this Warriors team. They are better at that than the Lakers are, just flat out. Like, they understand what they have to do there. They have better shooters. They have better guys at getting to the rim after the defense is kind of spread apart. Like, the Warriors are just better in those spots. So from the Lakers' perspective, it has to, I think, continue to come back to the identity of physicality, athleticism, length, and just brute force. And that's what the Lakers need to focus on. And that 14-0 run, fortunately, the Lakers were able to survive it. They got enough stops down the stretch, got some, you know, timely buckets, and made their free throws, and were able to you know, kind of survive that. But you shouldn't have to survive that. The game didn't need to get that close, and I think it got that close because Darvin and the coaching staff went back to their ideologies of small and skilled versus the identity that the Lakers keep trying to prove that he needs to just kind of accept at this point. Last thing here on this one, on an individual level, LeBron's game was interesting. Historically, he tends to ease himself into series. I thought maybe in this one he was going to take a more proactive role. And look, he started the game by taking the first few shots, if not all three of the first few, three of the first four or so, minus like the only ones that he didn't take. Reeves had that like weird reverse layup thing that he tried, and Vanderbilt tried to tip that in. But beyond that, it was a few LeBron jumpers, and you know, LeBron really tried to get his jumper going in this one, but he doesn't have it. He hasn't had his jumper all season. He finishes 9 of 24 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3-point range, which means, so if you subtract the 8 from 24, that's 16, which means he goes 8 of 16 on two-pointers. Cool. Yeah. Let's shoot more two-pointers. So it's going to be interesting with LeBron and his approach on this one. You know, when he needed to, he got downhill and got to the bucket. In this one, I don't think that like getting downhill off of the bounce is really going to be a consistent option for him. But what I would like to see is him get into the post, the pinch post, and really try to, you know, just keep putting tiny little warriors into the basket, as Raj likes to say. Like, force the warriors to try to have to deal with him and that physicality, rather than, you know, have him stand at the top and let all of those tiny little warriors kind of gang up on him as he drives through them to the basket. Like, that's not, I think, going to be the best approach. I think either get him in motion or get him, you know, on the block or in that kind of area and let him go to work. Still, though, like from LeBron's perspective, winning a game that he doesn't play absolutely his best in, or even like anywhere near, like this was, I would say, like a below average LeBron game. Winning a below average LeBron playoff game on the road is monstrous. So I thought he was pretty good defensively, offensively, and the Lakers were able to win despite that. And really, that would make me pretty nervous if I was a Warriors fan. Moving forward, like I said, Lakers are now on schedule. They have a day off, and then they have game two on Thursday. And we'll see, you know, kind of what that looks like and how that is going to go, the adjustments that are going to be made. Are the Warriors going to commit to going super small? Does that mean less Looney? If so, what does that mean for what the Lakers are going to try to do? Are the Lakers going to allow themselves to be goaded into going just as small? Or are they going to find more ways to kind of punish that lack of size? This series is a fascinating one, man. I'm obviously more confident having won game one. Now it's just a matter of staying on schedule and taking care of business when you have that opportunity. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown. Make sure you check out, if you haven't already, the preview that Aaron and I put together, that two-parter that is a couple episodes back in your feed. Raj and I went live right after the game. And if you're looking for different ways to check out the game, Lakers Lounge is on Playback. Again, playback.tv/Lakers Lounge is where you can find it. I was on there for the entirety of the game. Had an absolute blast with the people who were there watching. Really, really, really fun to do it that way. Over the course of these playoffs, I'm going to, you know, start bringing on some more guests and start focusing on doing things, doing more stuff over there. So check that out, as well as the YouTube page, as well as my own Substack, and everything else that we are trying to produce for you on this feed. So we have a monster day today in terms of content. So I cannot wait to get that out. I'm not jinxing it. I already made that mistake once, and I'm not going to do that again. So until the next time you hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin, saying have a good one.